Well, greetings everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. Welcome in here tonight with us to the Shepherd's Call. Glad to have you in here with us tonight. Part 4 of Genesis Unveiled coming up. You don't want to miss it. We're going to get into the last episode, perhaps. We could do maybe a 6 or 8 part of this series, or double it up and make 8 parts out of it, as easily as we have done the 4 part. This is the 4th part, and if the Spirit would permit us, we would like to continue the unveiling of Genesis. There's just so much to go through from Genesis to Revelations and show you the scarlet thread that is woven through the bloodlines of the good and the bad. It's unfortunate that everybody thinks that God is some little old creepy spirit that just bounces around in the night to shake your covers and if you need him, put him on like a raincoat. And the evil ones are just a figment of our imagination. Well, it's not true. We're talking about literal offspring of the men of renown and those that we would call angels. Now, Yahweh himself got in the act, if you really believe the Christian doctrine of faith, where it says that Almighty God overshadowed Mary, and she brought forth a son. So it is possible for these gods, as they are known to me and to others that know who angels are, these are mighty ones that live in the heavens. We're going to prove that tonight. Now, in Genesis chapter 6, we've unveiled already in part 2 and 3, and tonight we're going to cover in detail the gap of the truth. Now, the Bible said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now, by being free, we have access to kingdom principles that is reserved into the heavens and only sent down to those who are worthy by those who love the truth. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about truth tonight, and that's something that these most preachers on the radio, now there's a lot of good, honest preachers on the radio, but being good and honest don't get you home. You must have the truth, which will, in a sense, make you an outcast and be considered not good. For they that preach the truth will bring the blood, and those to whom they are cutting have no love for truth preachers. And so that's why that the category of truth separated by fiction and those that seem right, these are good-intending people that have been deceived by the power, cunning, craftiness of Satan as he goes through the earth as, not the roaring lion, but as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, that devouring is taking you under his wing and changing the truth into a lie and let you worship the creature rather than the creator. Now, in Genesis 6, we're told that the sons of God, these are what we consider fallen angels, interbred with the human race. Their objective was to undermine the first prophecy in the Bible. This prophecy is one of the most overlooked or underrated or unmentioned because it brings up the great controversy of a sexual act of sin in the beginning when it talks about trees in the garden. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't get beyond the carnal mind and to know that these trees were the great angelic beings that walked in the garden as Adam and Eve had the permission and the opportunity to walk among these angels, and Satan, we know that he went to and fro in the earth, and that he encountered a lot of people along his way that become victims of his cunning craftiness. Now, let's talk about that prophecy. The prophecy stated that the woman, or the seed of the woman, would come and crush the head of the seed of the serpent. Now, we all know that this was foretelling that God the Son, who would become incarnate through the human lineage to redeem mankind, as stated, as I said, in Genesis 3:15, by contaminating the human bloodline, these fallen angels, Satan with the master plan, tried to prevent God's redemptive plan, and they were at one time only 8 people away from complete success of contaminating the whole chain of Yahweh's chosen people. I'm not talking about the people of the world. People of the world don't belong to Yahweh, no way. These people of the world are just made to live out their days and be a part of the process as they multiply like flies. Now, the people of Yahweh are down to less than 3% right now of the world's population. I'll repeat that. Only 3% approximately, and could be a lot less, and I suspect so, but I give it the benefit of the doubt of my figures here, that only 3% of the people of the earth are eligible for consideration to be chosen to stand in the mighty day. Now remember Enoch? Remember I told you that he was taken? That Enoch and Noah in their days was the only ones to stand in truth against the sons of God as they inbred and as they battled the temptation to go ahead and mix with the world and become the world. As the song says, we are the world. And what you see there is a hodgepodge of flesh, be it red, white, blue, green, purple, or whatever color, has mixed together and congealed, if you will, their blood into the earth. And this is the plan of Satan and the angels to make it very, very, very hard and difficult for Yahweh to redeem his sons through this corrupt bloodline. You say it doesn't matter, but flesh and blood don't enter in. That's true. That's why it was bound and cast aside. But if that bloodline is adulterated in its original creation, it becomes less than what it was, and then it becomes susceptible to rejection. Remember, the briars and the thorns are nigh unto rejection. Didn't say they were rejected, but that it was nigh unto rejection. And so consider yourself, as you go down through life, remember you must give an account for the deeds done in your body. Now, in the days of Noah, it would be determined that it would be as it was in the days that we live in. Now, there are UFO sightings and rumors and abductions and things of this nature, and that is just exactly what was going on in Genesis chapter 6. The sons of Yah, they had to have some type of transportation, ladies and gentlemen. And this great alien, what we call alien, was no more than the fallen angels that were cast out of heaven, that were going to and fro in their mighty ships with their technology and their occult practices, and they were casting down the truth to the ground and teaching men to do so. But as it says in Daniel 11:32, but the people that know their God shall be strong and do exploits against the last day mechanics and physics as they seek to destroy the faith of those who have the intention to serve the Creator in truth. Now let me give you something about truth. Truth is one of the most mystifying things upon the earth, and very few people are in possession of it. Why? Because it exacts and demands 100% of your loyalty to that which is against the grain. John 3:21, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. John 8:40. Listen to this now. But now you seek to kill me. This is the man that told him the truth. A man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham. You do not love the truth, for you're not of the truth. You are of your father, the devil, and he is the opposite of truth. Well, what's the opposite of truth? A lie. The Bible said that they, whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. You see, Satan has been lying from the very beginning, from Genesis 3:14, when he received the curse. Now, it's stated expressively in John that Satan and his children will not love the truth. Why? Because in John 14:17, listen, even the spirit of truth, whom the world, now we're talking about Satan and his seed and his offspring and those whom he deceives. You see, a lot of people could make the seed for the kingdom, or to be received into the kingdom, but because they love not the truth, or because they would go with the world, or because they walk with the world and agree with the world, because it seems right, there is a way that seemeth right, but the end thereof is death, and from such turn away. You better recover yourself. I know men and women that have got on property, private property, farms, to become self-sufficient, to get out of the world. I know men that have given up lucrative careers, highly paying jobs, because they were skilled and they had talents and gifts to perform and to receive, and the Bible said a workman is worthy of his honor, but gave up these things of the world just to prepare for the truth that is coming, even the spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're worthy to receive the truth, you've got to prove yourself. Hardships is the infiltration course of spirituality. Nothing comes easy. Everything's against the grain. Whatever you're for, the devil's against. What you're against, the devil is for. Whatever you call right, they call wrong. Whatever you call wrong, they call right. You see, it's a paradox of opposite between truth and a lie. And if you love a lie, you could be a sheep. And you could love a lie, and you could be sown into what we describe as stony ground, and because you don't get rooted and grounded, when you spring up, when the persecution of the world comes against you, or they take your livelihood, or they punish you or persecute you for the name that you uphold, which is the name above all names, and the only name that's got salvation, and that name is Yahweh. This is the name that was rejected by the Belchers. This is the stone that would not be set upon the altar of Yahweh, because the prophetic truth seekers, and for those who had cause to bring the truth, knew that the world would not receive it, but it would leave the capstone off. And ladies and gentlemen, you are that capstone. It is now your responsibility to be set in the truth upon the pyramid of salvation, a stone that the builders rejected. Oh, it's not a popular name. I know the name that is popular. Ladies and gentlemen, the name that was set aside is the name that was rejected. The name that was manufactured through a, if you will, a plan that was hatched up by the serpent race people to deceive the very elect. As Satan deceived Eve when he told her she would become a god and would not die. The Christ quoted the scripture out of the Psalms written by the prophet David, who said, that though they were gods, they would die like men. Now, who is these that are gods, truly? And if you look at the talents of the world, their ability to make money, look at the Federal Reserve plan. Ladies and gentlemen, if you know the mechanics of a plan, you know that somebody beyond Earth assisted to siphon off all of the wealth so that Satan could have something to offer the people or his children, because they've sold out for filthy lucre. That's money, ladies and gentlemen, the love of money being the root, the substance of all evil. And Satan works through power of money and wealth, and deceives those seed that fall into earth upon the stony ground, and deceives those who fall into good ground, but for the cares of this world and for making filthy lucre, sell out and compromise the principles of truth. This is the greatest deception that Genesis brought to light, was the lie of the serpent in Genesis 3:14 and 15, and his seed and offspring are still here in the earth as flesh and blood beings, real beings, ladies and gentlemen. Let me give you a marvelous scripture that will let you know that in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, starting at verse 3. Now listen to this now. Through faith. Now, this is a mighty powerful scripture. I would love for you to look at it with me and get the things and really take into appreciation how much power Satan had through deception by the fallen sin brought the world, or turned the world inside out or upside down, as the opposites of the polarity of the faith spirit of truth and the deceptive spirit of a lie. Remember, the Bible said that Satan would, if he could, deceive the very elect, and many will fall for his tricks and his cunning and his craftiness. Many will fall as the tears of this world will spring up and choke out that which was committed to Yahweh. You did run well. What hindered you? You started out. Did you think it'd be a bed of roses? Did you think that the devil would leave you alone when you stood up for or claimed the word of Yahweh and his name and you were baptized? Do you think that the devil would let up? Of course he's not. You know, I thought for a while, you know, I had enough faith to run through a troop and leap tall mountains. But you know, it's the little things that pull you back to earth and bring you back to reality. And Samson had that talk to him with a 100-pound woman. And through her ability and the lion spirit that was in her, you see, she was a child of Satan. And Samson was over in the territory of Satan and got in the wrong barber shop and let the wrong barber a hold of his head and cut his power. And so then, a lot of us fall by the wayside because we don't understand. Now look what it says here. Through faith we understand. Now what's faith? Faith is something that we cannot see. Ladies and gentlemen, by the book of Daniel, chapter 10, verses 12 through 13, it just gives you a little glimpse of what goes on in the warfare of heavenly places. Now, the prince of Persia. Who was the prince of Persia? Daniel prayed, and there was a prince that guarded the territory of the earth. In other words, he had the ability to block the prayers of Daniel. It's recorded in the 10th chapter. If you look at the book of Daniel, look what it says here as we read. And here, then said the angel unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thy heart to understand, 21 days early in a fast, and to chasten thyself before God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince, this is Satan, of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. So if you're praying in a particular region, did you know sometimes you can change locations and it will increase the power of the prayer to get through to the kingdom principles that you believe in, a higher power? But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, if you look at Michael, he's the war angel, because in the 12th chapter of Revelation, it says that Michael and his angels warred against Satan. Well, we know that we wrestle not against powers and principalities, but spirits of wickedness. Sometimes Satan, in a dimensional shift, can rule from the heavens above a nation or a territory. This nation can be cursed or blessed, dependent on the objective of the enticing spirit. You see, Satan will offer you something if you'll give him your soul and surrender your truth to walk with him in a flesh body, to come over to his side of his thinking. He can persuade you as Delilah persuaded Samson and destroyed the power of his faith. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia, is there an angel of resistance standing over where you live? Or have your prayers been blocked? Maybe not under the same magnitude of Daniel's, because this concerned the vision for the people of Yahweh in the latter days. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to give you that vision for the latter days, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. And so by faith we understand that the worlds were worlds. I want you to underline worlds, not world. We are earthbound. We think in a limited state of mind that we are the only world in the universe. And ladies and gentlemen, the Bible will not support that theory. That's foolish thinking, to think that we're alone in the world or the worlds. The worlds were framed by the Word of God. And here is the most intriguing part of that powerful scripture that should set you into motion to unveil Genesis in your mind. Which the Bible says, when people go back and read the Old Testament, they read with the veil of Moses over their eyes. Now, they see in a certain way, although they have nothing over their eyes. Their eyes only sees a surface dimension application, and then they conclude, after reading the Old Testament, well, that was all under the law, and there's nothing in there for me, glory to God. I'm just a New Testament man. Well, here it is in New Testament. By the writing of a prophet, that things which are seen were things which do appear. Now listen. So that things that are seen were things that do appear. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that has a meaning, if you will, of unveiling. In other words, there is a covering over this present world, a veil, if you will, to let you participate in religion. Now, the Bible says religion is vain. You've got to have salvation and truth. And truth and salvation come through one name and one name only. You don't have any choices in this, ladies and gentlemen. If the name of Yahweh, spoken from the foundation of the world and imparted to the prophets of old, was the name that would come forth, and the Bible said he will receive glory because he has known my name, and I will set him in heavens above all things. This is the sonship that came in a flesh body, that was God incarnated in a flesh body. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Now let me show you something here. In the book of Nehemiah, chapter 9, verse 6, listen as I read. But thou art Yahweh alone. Thou hast made heaven, the earth of heavens. Now listen to this. Thou hast made heaven and the heaven of heavens with all their host. Now, is there a host of beings in the heavens that is in other worlds unknown to you that exist, and they have an agenda, both good and bad, or both truth and light, or truth and darkness, and light and darkness, as they oppose themselves diametrically, if you will, as the opposition to your faith? The things that appear are things which seem to be, but the earth is going to, if you will, and the heavens are going to roll back like a scroll, and then you're going to see the real things, not the things that do appear, but the things that really are. And the things that appear are not the things that are, because the things that appear are only temporarily. The Bible said the earth shall pass away and the heavens shall pass away. Then you'll see the real heaven and the real earth in its spiritual dimension, where Adam and Eve were banished from returning without a redeemer. Listen to this now. Thou hast made the heaven of heavens and the host of the earth and all things that are in, the seas and all that is in. Thou shalt preserve them, and the host of heaven worships you. Well, remember, Satan and his angels were cast out of the host of heaven. And they had a temporary stopover on a planet in the wayward heavens, as they revolved away from the earth, because the Bible gave us a warning that Satan would, at the appointed time when the chain of restraint was broken or cut by the mighty powers that be, at the appointed time, Satan and all his angels will come to planet earth. Now, I told you about the false prophet and the beast and Satan, who are in league, and the three false or unclean spirits that are organizing a, if you will, a place for these beings to come. And they will be received upon the earth. And the Bible said, all whose names are not on the Lamb's book will wander after the beast that cometh upon the earth, and he shall rule the earth for a short season. And ladies and gentlemen, Satan is going to come, and he's going to sit in the temple. Now, he's going to sit as the favorite god of the heavens. Certainly, he wouldn't come as Satan. Do you think that Satan would come and say, well, I'm Satan, worship me? How stupid can Christians be when they're deceived by the Antichrist that have been here from the very get-go? Antichrist means anti-truth. Christ is an anointed spirit. Remember, it says in the 14th chapter of John that they cannot receive the spirit of truth, for there is no truth in them. Can a leopard change his spots? Can a tree bring forth oranges that is nothing but a thorn bush? Of course not. You wouldn't go to a thorn bush to pick apples. And in the very same way that the people are going to be so deceived, now ladies and gentlemen, it is the easiest thing in the world to deceive people. You know why? Because the Bible said they love a lie. People will somehow fall for pie in the sky or some kind of a silly promise or a rapture theory that they won't have to go through the persecution or tribulation, and they're lulled to sleep by these fancy damn prophets that are out here dancing by the dozen. The Bible says they're like foxes on the desert. And they're all barking their bark to deceive all those that dwell upon the earth, whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and who have not the name of the Father in their forehead. Well, this false God, and I've long told you who he is, you'll find out in the day. But when, you see, when Jesus Christ returns with his angels, he will sit in the temple at Jerusalem, the holy city. Rome will be destroyed through a terrible earthquake. It will force the three major religions into the international city, if you will, which has been a burdensome stone upon the back of all the nations, is that little territory over there that they call Israeli. The place where the Christians say that Jesus Christ walked and that he's going to return. There's going to be a rapture, and then Satan's going to be loosed upon the earth for a short season, and then they're coming back for 1,000 years, and then we're going to do something then, whatever sequence that they have, and it doesn't tie into the scriptures, ladies and gentlemen. It just ain't going to happen. It's a figment, a belief of our imagination out of the 23rd chapter of the book of Revelations, and the last time I read it was only 22. And so then, by deception and deceit and by cunning craftiness and by loving kind spirit, Satan is going to come back in a peaceful mode. Well, we're already looking for somebody to save us. We're so stupid. We build enough nuclear bombs to destroy the earth 20 times over, and we don't have enough. Other nations wants in. Now we got Iran. In 4 years, they say they will have the bomb. They're going to start making nuclear-grade materials to build the bomb, and the component parts will come together approximately, they predict, if Iran stays on its schedule, that in 4 years they will be armed with nuclear weapons. That's going to be nice. You say, well, Pastor Buddy, Israel and the United States will never say that that happened. Well, that's probably true. That's probably the reason that they're going to go in and conquer the Arab nations, not only for the riches of the oil, and you know it was Yahweh that gave the promise of the covenant to the woman that was sitting out on the desert, where she was in the territory of Asher, and the Bible prophesies that Asher shall dip his foot in oil. And did you know that this region of the earth is the place where now the nations of the world congregate to buy the oil, which is now amazingly, I prophesied this years ago, that oil would be the trump card of the Arab world as they raise the price and they will take in the riches of the world, and the armies that are stronger will come for a spoil. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the nations that are coming for a spoil are already set round about. This is the prophecy. When you see Jerusalem, we're talking about a region, an area here, and the focal point would be in the center here of Jerusalem. But look around the region of the oil-rich kingdoms and their spoil. They're reaping $67 a barrel, probably go to 80 before it's over with. Gasoline at its cheapest price here in Tennessee is above the 350 and headed, and some of the higher octane gases are approaching $3 or better in California. It's already there and better. And so then we have seen the last of cheap energy, and the rest of the way in will be a battle for the spoils. And the Bible prophesies in the book of Daniel that the kings, and in the book of Ezekiel, that these mighty armies will come for a spoil. Well, ladies and gentlemen, they're coming for the black gold and the Texas tea. That's what they're coming for. Plus, they're coming to open up the 33rd parallel dragon door for these demonic reptilian dragons to come through and to live in the last days openly. They're going to shapeshift openly in front of people. But now when Satan comes, all of that will cease because he no longer has a need to shapeshift through dimensional shifts. The chain will be cut. The restraining order will be lifted, and Satan will come to fulfill the woe of the... Now, this is a spiritual woe, but remember, the Bible said he's coming in peace and going to deceive the very elect. Some of them are going to fall, the Bible said. And so then, here's what we're going to get. We're going to get a very crafty Satan. You say, well, there ain't no devils up there in the spirit world. Well, let's go to Ephesians 6 and 12. It tells us that there are evil entities in heavenly realms, and that they're bound by a dimensional shift that only will open at specific times, and Satan knows how to, through his people, he knows how to maneuver that door for a short season. He can't keep it open until it's going to be open permanently. Once this door has been opened, the Bible talks about the demons that will bound under the Euphrates, and this is in a dimensional place, ladies and gentlemen. On the 33rd parallel, when it opens, it will open and remain open when all of the heavens and all of the evil ones will be emptied, and they have no choice but to show themselves as they will be exposed by the Creator and the Mighty Ones. And the multitudes of the evil will empty upon the earth. And the Bible says, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, for Satan will come down among you. Well, Pastor Buddy, you can't see a spirit. The Bible don't say that Satan is a spirit. That's wrong thinking. You see, he is a created being. The Bible nowhere calls Satan a spirit. It does talk about these deranged demonic demons as spirits of devils. Now this is an agenda by Satan and his mighty ones. They want to come. They've got to come. It's a time for them to come. And they're appearing. They're already working with the governments of this world in secret. They will be in open as they stage this giant coming in the sky of the mighty ships, we call them dragon ships. They're going to come, and they're going to sit in the temple as gods. Satan and his angel, Jesus Christ, he will be called Jesus Christ. And he will deceive, practice, and punish the righteous ones who have the true name, who oppose him, and who knows the truth about the false name of Jesus. Isaiah 24, verse 21, in that day Yahweh will punish the powers of the heavens above. Yahweh will punish the powers in the heavens above? Well, that's what it says. What's that mean? That Yahweh will cast them down finally. You see the mission after he cast them out of heaven? The objective was to cast them down to the earth. But it was decided by the galactic of the mighty ones to chain and restrain for a specific period of time that Yahweh could get his harvest of sheep in. John 10:16, I have other sheep that are not in this sheep pen. I will get them and bring them, and there shall be one shepherd, one Yahweh, and his name one, with one sheep with the name of Yahweh in their foreheads. But before that, in that day, when Yahweh unleashes the evil ones, and they come upon the earth, the angel has done hurled out the warning 3 times, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. You say, well, Satan's been here for a long time. The influence of Satan has been here in dimensional shift form, the carnal mind. You see, there's a spirit mind, there's a carnal mind. Satan works in the carnal, and Yahweh works in the spirit. Have you ever heard that the devil worked in the spirit mind? He's got no power in the spirit mind. That's sealed. If not, Satan could take you captive at his own will. Well, yes, you have a will. If you surrender over to Satan, the Bible said, to whomsoever you give your members to, that's who you're a slave of. So watch and pray, little ones, when Yahweh in Mark 13:27 will send his angels and gather his elect. Wouldn't it be fitting for Satan to come first and send his angels and gather his elect? You see, Satan's got elect. Yahweh's got elect. There's two sides to this issue. It's a black and white issue, ladies and gentlemen. It's a light and darkness issue. It's a lie and a truth issue. And choose this day who you'll serve. He said, my sheep will hear my voice. Well, I know that the voice of a prophet, if it could come into these sheep pens, I call them bell boxes, where the sheep had run to the bell box to baa, along with the goats that butts around on the word, and that's all they're doing, tickling their ear, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And the Bible says, from such turn away. No wonder we got men and women coming out of the denominational system all across the earth. No wonder that the sheep are now getting hungry in the last days, because he said, I'll pour out my spirit, I'll send my hunters and my fishermen and my prophets, and they shall speak the word with truth, caring not for the life, caring not for the necessities. Ladies and gentlemen, I spent the first 30 years of my ministry starving literally to death. But when I got in the true name of Yahweh, I didn't really know what persecution was. When you get the spirit of truth, the world cannot receive it, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, do you not? For he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. And he said, think not when you're delivered of what you're going to say. Ladies and gentlemen, the time is coming. We're going to be rounded up and herded into these sheep pens. Well, I can't wait for that day to come. Yeah, they're probably going to give us bread and water. Well, ladies and gentlemen, wouldn't that be wonderful to have a forced fast for the truth of God to stand in the last days, and that we could grow mighty and spiritual until we could really, literally, ride on the wings of the heavens. That we could actually call fire down from heaven. That we could actually prophesy and God would shut the heavens. The day's coming when the prophecy of Ezekiel and the prophecy of Enoch and the prophecy of Isaiah and the very prophecy of when he said, I'll send my angels together the elect from the four corners of the earth, meaning the north, east, south, and west. We're going to be gathered. Well, Have you ever thought that in the last days that it won't be too hard to find us? That we'll be in the stockades? We'll be in the prisons? That we'll be in the killing chambers of Satan? But the people that know their God shall be strong and do exploits, Daniel 11:32. Are you ready? Are you prepared? You see, ladies and gentlemen, we're right now in the most trying times of the earth because Genesis is being unveiled. The truth is being told. We've listened to a lie of Satan. See, Satan's job was to keep us enamored with stupidity. We have a brain that when it runs to an IQ of 200, we think we are some genius running around here. But we conventionally think about evil, and everything that has come from the mind of man has turned into abomination to God. For the Bible said that the things that man highly esteems is actually, literally, an abomination to the Creator. Do you think that He needs man and his power and his nuclear bombs and his mighty armies? Do you think that God trembles in the heavens? Do you believe that He has no power to withstand the Babylonian kingdom of George Bush or the mighty kings of the earth that will band together to fight against actually the coming of a day of God? Don't you see what religion has done in the past to destroy the truth, to cast it to the ground, and that it's for us in the last days to expose the lies and the harmful agenda of Satan as he sits in the temple of God in Jerusalem, showing himself to be God? I can just see Billy Graham. Well, he probably won't be living, but the people he's deceived will. You say, Pastor Buddy, Billy Graham's a good man. Good for what? Good to tell you heartwarming stories, talk well, with a proper accent. The Bible says these prophets in the last days would speak well and deceive the very elect. They're gathering together all of the Christian sons of Yah to announce a judgment. And this judgment is going to be set, and the Ancient of Days will take the throne, as it says in Matthew chapter 24 and 25, as we want to know what's going to happen in the last days. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you're living in the last days. Most of you are deceived. Most of you are still in the bail box. Most of you won't come out for love or money because you slap your breast and say, I know what I've got. I know what my mommy and I know what my daddy, and you'll cast the truth. Let a truth prophet come into your assembly. Invite Pastor Buddy. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been thrown out of some of the best synagogues in the land, in bail boxes. You know why? For preaching the truth. You shall know the truth. And he that doeth the truth cometh to the light. Most people want to sit in church and snooze and lose. You're going to be a sheep. You're going to have to wake up and come out of the world and be not partakers of our sins and compromising with our false doctrine and false names. The greatest of those names of falsehood is Jesus Christ. Jesus the Anointed. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus! Well, we've got preachers defending that name. They've got more time than Pastor Buddy would ever dare to have, and yet they can't even read it in the King James original Bible, but they'll bring up the Revised to where the J appears. And say, oh, Pastor Buddy, it was transliterated properly. There was no deception. See, that's what I'm saying. How can you be deceived without being blind? How can you be blind with the truth? The truth is going to make you free. blindness will keep you bound in the bell box assemblies to worship a false name. I know it's the sweetest name you know. I know that your mommy and your daddy and your great-grandfather, they sung this name. But back 500 years ago, they had never heard of the name of Jesus. And yet, it is the most famous name. And you know why preachers preach it? Not to redeem mankind. Not to give them any truth. They do it for filthy lucre and for praise and honor of men. You see, when I denounced the name of Jesus and brought forth the name of Yahweh, I lost 99% of my Christian faith supporters. Because they didn't have the same revelation that I did. I'm sorry. Every man must bear his own burden, and every man must stand before him. As it says in Matthew 25, verse 31, everybody's going to stand before me. No, I don't say that. Well, what does it say, Pastor Buddy? Well, read it for yourself. It certainly doesn't say that everybody is going to stand before him. It just says the sheep and the goats are going to stand before him. Who's the sheep? The ones that love the truth. Who's the goats? The one that rejected it. To whom it was given. Oh, yeah, you did run well. What hindered you? Love of money. The love of money is the root of all evil. And to preach a false name over the true name is beyond me how preachers can get up and do it, knowing that they're going to be condemned in the day of judgment if it is found that the name of Yahweh, the Yod-Heh-Vah-Heh, if that is not emblazed in your... And ladies and gentlemen, I have a map showing you that in Hebrew, the name of Yahweh is written in the earth at Bethel, the birthplace of the true Messiah. He was not born in Judah. Need to write for that information. And while you're writing, ladies and gentlemen, tonight we're offering a t-shirt to anybody that can support us. Just send us a love offering of any denomination, and we'll send you a t-shirt with the name of your divine creator in Hebrew. Also in English, written under the name of Hebrew, will be the name in English of the true name of the creator. The same name that is written in the earth as it was pronounced in the heavens. His name shall be declared in the earth, and it's written at the birthplace. It's amazing how that Yahweh has sent us so much information that has been cast to the ground and neglected and rejected. Well, the Bible said it would be rejected. So, that leaves a few there be that find it. Now, these t-shirts were made by a love offering from a brother in Illinois that sent me 100. I only have 100. And through his generosity to the Shepherd's Call Ministry, to get you to write us and get acquainted with us, we'll send you a t-shirt. Just give us a size. We're limited in sizes, so if it's a little big or, well, you just have to live with it. Praise Allah. But I tell you, your chest will fill with pride, and you will probably fill it up, because to wear the only name under heaven that's got salvation provable 6,000 times and as many as 2,000 times in the New Testament, so a combined effort of exactly 7,000 or 8,000 times in the Bible, his name is forever settled. Nothing can be added to it, nothing taken away. So, write, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. That's Pastor Buddy. Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now, if you'd like to call me, we're live tonight on the 14th day of August. You're listening to The Shepherd's Call with Pastor Buddy on WWCR. It's a mighty voice. It's the jewel of the South. So, you're getting a good clear signal, you can thank WWCR. If you're getting the truth, thank Pastor Buddy and the men and women that support my ministry, which are many. So then, the love of those who support to get Pastor Buddy's voice around the world on WWCR is brought to you by the love of those that love the truth. Yahweh bless every one of them that supports the Shepherd's Call Ministry. Now, call me, area code 423-626-2172. We'll send you the five part. I did a special part, if you will. I've added a special CD to this four-part set. There'll be five and complete Genesis Unveiled. So this is the last part, unless the Father will move on us to continue, which we could. But if you'd like to have it, write Pastor Buddy for the five-part series, or if you'd like to have the T-shirt, send us a love offering, and we will most gladly send you a T-shirt bearing the correct name of the Creator. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I see that my time is coming and gone. If you'd like to call and support our ministry through Dr. Gary, who is the chief financial officer of our ministry here, Dr. Gary, and he lives in Louisiana. The number is 1-877-289-7439. He will take your credit card. He has the facilities there at the office to take your credit card. If you'd like to make a donation to the Shepherd's Call to help us on the ministry, then call Dr. Gary at 1-877-289-7439. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the old clock on the wall is saying we got to go. We'll see you next Sunday night on the Shepherd's Call with a new series beginning on WWCR.
We take our stand and we'll decide for